You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Around 3 years ago, JSE listed chemicals group Omnia, which services clients across the agriculture and the mining sector, appointed its former CFO to the top job of CEO. It was a really difficult time for the company, with shareholders worried about the group's financial position. So Seelan Gobalsamy had a really tough job as a CEO ahead of him, I think. But he does join the market update now to discuss his experience during this time and his career as an executive in corporate South Africa. Seelan, thanks for joining the market update. You know, I really feel like you haven't really been Omnia CEO for that long, but it feels like you've been there forever. I don't know if it's just as a result of the various times you and I have spoken, but does it feel that way to you that you have been the CEO for more than 3 years?
Yeah, good evening, Fifi, and good evening to all your listeners. It does, you know, Omnia is a business that's been around for 70 years. And, you know, I joined the company in a difficult time, and I really enjoyed the passion. I really enjoyed the difference that the company has made. So while I've only been here for 3 years, I think there's still a long journey ahead and there's still a lot more to come.
Because you came on board, you know, your mandate perhaps was to stabilize the ship. And I remember at the time there was a whole host of concerns around the company's financial standing, because Omnia initially said that it was okay, and then it came out and said that actually, no, it's not that okay, and it will need shareholders to help it out through a rights issue, which I like to call a kind of bailout. The market didn't like it at the time, but in your experience, what was the most difficult thing about steering the ship to more smoother waters at the time?
Yeah, I guess in any of these situations, the most difficult thing that the leadership team and the board have is to manage multiple stakeholder groups. So you have banks, you have shareholders, you have customers, suppliers, and staff, you know, all being concerned and all wanting this great company to stabilize and continue for future decades. So the most difficult is really balancing all those stakeholders. And I guess the way we did that is we were very convicted with what we did. We were disciplined in terms of the debt restructure, disciplined in terms of the rights issue, you know, and stuck to our conviction to do what is right and really ensure that this South African stalwart of a company continues. You know, we continue employing our people. We continue making the difference in agriculture and mining that we do.
But it looks like the worst is over in terms of Omnia's case for now at least. But of course, before Omnia, you held a number of other executive roles across corporate South Africa and even in the emerging market space. You were at the financial services company Liberty as CEO of its emerging markets division. You were at Stanlib. You were at Old Mutual, both also in top jobs. Which job has been the toughest in your career so far?
Goodness, that's a difficult question. I think all those companies, you know, are incredible, you know, South African businesses that make an incredible difference to our country. I think the toughest has to be, you know, what we faced at Omnia. You know, Omnia was in a very difficult position. And I think in life, you know, with the difficult situations you face and the tough situations you face, those are the most rewarding, you know. So looking back, and seeing, you know, our people having employment, seeing the difference we make in the lives of farmers and of mines is probably the most rewarding experience for me now that Omnia is through this difficult patch.
Where's home, and how would you describe your childhood?
Goodness, I grew up in East London, a very simple background, a very simple family. My father taught me about business. You know, you learned that when you didn't have, you needed to work very hard to have. You needed to sell things. You needed to be an entrepreneur for a very young age. And I think my family taught me the importance of education. And, you know, that would really be my wish for all of the people of South Africa, you know, to enhance learning, enhance education, and give everyone the opportunity to grow and learn and study further. So that was home initially, the Eastern Cape, East London, you know, then off to Rhodes, studied an accounting degree and became a CA, and then into financial services. Right now, home is Johannesburg, and my family are scattered in with kids at university and some in Cape Town at the moment.
Well, it looks like Rhodes produces quite a stellar graduates, and that's not because I'm also one of them, but but in any case, I mean, South Africa's business landscape has changed quite a bit, I suppose, since you first ventured out in business. I mean, I'm speaking with you as a CEO of a JSE-listed company, a black CEO of a JSE-listed company, and while we have been seeing changes and more inclusion happening, perhaps not as fast as other people may like. But would you say that progress is moving forward? And where do you think there is room for improvement in terms of inclusion of more black executives in top jobs and even female executives in top jobs?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there's always work to be done and there's always more that can be done. And I think, you know, someone like myself that's fairly driven, you know, I'd like to do more and more continuously. I think besides having, you know, the executive landscape mirror the society, you know, we also need to have financial inclusion. We also need to ensure that all of our people share in reward, in share schemes, and in the benefits that the companies create. So I think there's still a way to go. I think what we have seen is that all of our South African companies have to be globally competitive, you know, so we don't compete against each other. We compete against the world. So performance is really, really important. Governance is really, really important. So, you know, all of us need to develop and grow executives that mirror the society, the people of our lovely land, mirror that diverse society, but also ensure that our executives are high performing against global executives across the world. And we've got really, really great executives of all colors, of all sexes, of all ages that are really, really competent, that can leverage that position for the goodness of our country.
Mm. What do you do for fun?
In the busy world, you know, with so much change, so much change from a regulatory perspective, you know, we've seen what COVID has done. The fun has slowed down a little bit, but I think it's important to stay grounded for fun. I spend time with my family. I enjoy reading and catching up on local events. And I enjoy, I've got a little bit of a passion for engines and things that move, machines. So, you know, when I'm not being an accountant and a leader and a manager of a chemicals and explosives and agriculture business, I'm spending a little bit of time on those things.
Okay, so you're fixing things in the boardroom and you're fixing things in your garage. So you're kind of a fixer. Okay.
Probably more playing with things in the garage, more playing with them.
All right, okay. No, the distinction noted. But just talking about COVID, I think it's taught a lot of people a lot of things. But as a business leader, your key takeaways from the pandemic?
Yeah. You know, I think when the pandemic hit us the first time and we had the first lockdown, you know, folk were running around worried about their health, you know, worried about food supply, you know, worried about death. And I think we experienced waves of that. We experienced shortages. And I think supply chains did a really good job to make sure that shelves were stocked. And then we have experienced sickness and death. And my heart goes out to all of the people of the world that have been badly impacted by that. I think the learning for us is that we're now dealing with the psychological impacts of COVID. So we're now dealing with folks that have got long COVID, you know, folks that haven't engaged. You know, we've got a society, school kids, university kids, you know, young engineers, young accountants, young lawyers who have not engaged with customers, not engaged with peers, and need to be reintegrated into society. So I think the learning for me is that the psychological impacts of COVID will be with us for quite a while going forward. And we need to support our people. you know, around these psychological impacts, which are pretty devastating, you know, when we see them and experience them.
Personally, what's next for Asila Ngobulsamy?
I've still got a lot of work to do at Omnia. I think it's fair to say that, you know, we've had a great turnaround. You know, our people have been absolutely committed and dedicated to the success of the company. You know, I still have work to do at Omnia to grow our business. You know, we're very cash generative, so I need to deploy that cash effectively. I need to continue to create shareholder value. And really, you know, I would like to build and grow and invest in our people. If we could create a large chunk of employment for the country, that would be brilliant. If we could continue to bring in foreign investment into South Africa, that would be great. So I've still got a lot of hard work. That's what's next, is to complete what I've started.
All right, Asila, thanks so much for your time. Very nice to speak with you on a more personal and casual level. Asila Ngobulsamy, the CEO of Omnia, look forward to speaking to you again when next you report your results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.